Could you be so heartless? 12:25 on Wednesday, and you know what that means. Joining us on Twitch. And, of course, you can see him on the WEEI stream on YouTube as well. From WEEI.com, our buddy Andy Hart is with us.
Man, I'm about to die in here.
No, you know what? I really should take a day off considering the way I'm hacking. So
he's almost died like three times.
Should I do that? I mean,
just allergies?
No.
Jesus.
No,
put a mask on.
I don't.
If it's not allergies, then you're killing for it.
No, I don't think so. Because, but then again, I don't know, because I know like pollen's way up this week. Like it's real bad if you're dealing with allergies out there. And I've been tested a bunch, and they're like, "Well, you don't have full blown allergies, but you're sensitive." I'm like, okay,
like what? Oh, big fella sensitive. So, he's got feelings.
So I said to him, I go, "So I can't like take meds for it?" And he's like, "Nah, not really. It's like kind of got to just grind through it." And then it gets in your chest and you get a cough and all that stuff, and not good for talking for 4 hours a day.
You're a mess.
All right, hey, you know what? Don't worry. I'll call Ken at 6:30 Friday morning. No, have fun riding in.
Nope.
You got jokes now?
I'm sick too.
Look at him. Yeah. Look at him threatening
you.
Look at him threatening you.
It's not a threat. I'm just, he told me. No, he told me to let him know. So that's the thing. I'm letting him know 2 days in advance that on Friday I'm calling in. What's the problem for you?
I've already kind of claimed Friday as a call in sick day, so he really can't do it.
Dibs. I'm calling. Coughing, for God's sake.
Well, I may just
Belichick
come down with
really
something.
Is gone. Availability is no longer a premium.
Hey, how about the fact
listen,
that I've been told everything's new, so I get to take time off now, right? We're not going to grind anymore, and you're getting screwed.
This is a softer generation. We're all built on love.
There we go.
Why do I go to work in the morning? And if you can't answer that question, then maybe you shouldn't.
And how can a guy like Drake May, who's like so, you know, who's supposed to be there late and there early, find the time and energy to go to a Celtics game, you know, and get home super late, wake up really early? Maybe they're not working hard enough.
Are you being serious?
Yes and no.
No, yeah,
yes
the no part
no.
More so.
We're waiting to see which
this
side
you harkens
pick.
Back to Teddy Bruschi. Get off your phone and get in your playbook to Ocho Cinco.
Like, yeah.
Well, that one was
true,
though.
That was true. He wasn't an idiot.
So we're supposed to, like, 24/7. No sleep. Just stare at your playbook. There's going to be downtime. I like that Drake May has embraced the city of Boston. I think he's embracing his lot in life for good and bad. You know, he's putting
the spotlight
on.
We should invite him to a Red Sox game. We should be like, hey, you know,
Absolutely. Hey,
you want to come to a Red Sox game with us?
Sit with Christian Fourier. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, we have this really cool booth. We're friends with Cora. We can get you a Red Sox jersey.
He is the future of Boston sports, so why not get him to everything? Wow. He was at the Bruins. He's at
and
the
he's
Celtics.
Not even going to play this year.
I know.
Well, I'm more worried about all.
I'm more worried about the team at all of Boston sports and Jason Tatum.
If he doesn't play this year, that I will find that concerning, because I don't think that is totally.
Well, what does a scenario look like if he doesn't play? What does that look like? Him not playing.
You lose a lot of games, and it looks like. He is further behind, I believe, than you would want him to be, or you would hope him
Wait,
to be.
Wait, you say they lose a lot of games and he doesn't play?
Yeah.
I would think, like, if they were winning
Jacoby
games, he
Jacoby Brissett's
play.
Never had a winning record any time he started games, ever. Ever.
Yeah, but isn't that, so if you identify they are losing a lot of games, but you sit there and go, wow, all those practice reps, I mean, he can't even win in practice, so why would I put him in a game?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a bad thing if they don't ever feel the need, the itch, the ability to put him
in. The comfort,
So to watch what's going on, I'm sure you guys have discussed this, but the idea that it was Jacoby Brissett and then Bailey Zappe and then Drake May and then Joe Milton, that was sort of the order of operations in pretty much everything in that first OTA we saw. Although I will say there was one split field segment where Jacoby and Drake May went to one field and Zappe and Milton went to the other, which was my first like, oh yeah, he's going to do some things because they were working offense on that field. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, you know, so the passing game, they're making him earn it, which Gresh, I think you'll like, because we've had these conversations like, oh, they just gave him the numbers, right? Like Bill made him earn their numbers. You earned everything. Well, Bill used to give away more jobs than anybody to young players, in my opinion. He, you know, Cole Strange stepped off of a college bus and right into the starting lineup. And a lot of these first round picks have, whereas at least superficially, they're putting Bailey Zappi, the veteran, ahead of him in every single rep and saying, you know, beat him out first before you even think of getting on a game field. So I kind of like the process that's going on, and I liked my first observations of him.
Hmm. Okay. I noticed that you took some creative. I don't know if you wrote the headline on your column that we went through.
Did
yeah,
it work?
The
you got a lot of people chirping about that.
Yeah, the whole Keon White thing about Bill's not yelling at us anymore, but he didn't put it in a negative context.
Nope, he did not. He said it. I mean, he seems to be the type of guy. First of all, I don't know how, but I didn't cross paths all that often with Keon White last year. He's an interesting dude who certainly is quite comfortable in his stature. He's a big, imposing defensive lineman. Because the first thing, you know, the softball question for you, how does it feel to get back out there?
Hey, how's your offseason been so far?
So he responded.
I call that the Dan Roach question.
Yeah, kind of, but there was no one else there, and he was just looking at me, so I said it. I fell back on a Dan Roach question.
There you go.
I remember. It's like
way to be ready for the moment.
When we did have those, you know, preseason football meetings with Bill, Dan Roach was the first person to be like, "So tell me about you. Tell me about how camp's going."
Absolutely. So I gave him how's the field back out there. He said good, and then he followed up with quickly. Of course, they pay me to be out here. It is my job.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud. I was like, that's a good answer. But then he got into, he brought that up on his own, the whole, we don't have Bill cursing us out every play anymore. And then I followed up on that. And he, you know, that's where he made it clear that that's not a bad thing or a good thing. Like that's, there's just a different person doing it with a different style. And he really went in depth into the whole, Gerard is being genuine to Gerard. And Keon White said, I'll sniff out the BS, and I'll call you out on the BS. And I liked that. And that's where I think we have to, I know, Gresh, you like to poke fun at the new era and Gerard Mayo a little bit, but we have all said for years, all these guys fell on their faces going to Detroit and Denver and Vegas and all these places trying to be Bill, trying to be the dictator, trying to recreate the Patriot way. Well, now we have a guy that quite simply was born, bred, and developed in the Patriot way and says, but that's not the Mayo way. The Mayo way is different, and the players see it and feel it. I don't even know if you saw the photo that I found to go with my story of him coming up the steps, like putting two fingers out to the cameras, acknowledging the cameras and everything. Like, this may fail miserably, Gresh, but he is doing it his way. He is being true to who he thinks he is.
And maybe because of the start that they got off to, I wished I believed that was, I'm Gerard Mayo, this is what I stand for, this is how I want to coach, versus let's just go everything oppo.
See, I don't think it's oppo.
I do.
That is the cynical interpretation, I think, the pendulum swinging, the Pete Carroll pendulum from Bill Parcells, just go oppo.
Oh, yeah, maybe, we lived that.
Absolutely. And maybe, you know, that he could even be pushed in that direction, right? Because he's guided. He has a boss. He's a first-time guy. So I'm sure there's a lot of conversations of soul-searching with Robert Kraft and other people we don't need to name.
I'm sure Mayo right now doesn't have much backbone in terms of the people telling him what to do or how to do it.
Well,
I can buy that.
See, I
because he's happy to have the job. So you're not going to talk back to those guys.
But I think he's his own man, and he's got the job. Like, that's the other thing.
Well, that he could go double middle finger Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't care what anybody says, I'm doing it my way. But it feels like there's a lot of people in his ear telling him maybe how things should be done versus, hey, I'm Gerard, and here's the plan I had laid out when I found out I'm getting this thing.
But do you think he's not being true to himself? I guess that's the question. Do you feel like he's fraudulent right now?
No, I think on the on-field stuff where he's just kind of roaming around and chipping in and stuff like that, that I think is pretty genuine. Doing the whole philosophical thing, the way we're going to change things. I know it was Elliot Wolf that said less hard-ass edge, da-da-da. Yep. That's where it's the whole, well, he did it this way, and I'm going to do it the other way because the people upstairs want it that way. That's where I kind of feel bad for Gerard a little bit, is that if there is someone above him who is like, no, I want it done this way, I don't know how he can really push back on them given the lack of experience.
But why can't you just accept that this is the way he wants to do it? Because I think there's a lot of people that worked in that world, that building, that would say, We didn't need to do it the way we did it for so long.
Oh, listen, I agree that Bill went overboard sometimes, but now you're also starting to hear some folks and murmurings down there of the whole, maybe this has gone too far the other way here.
But here's the thing, though. Like, just like any quarterback that is, you know, won championships on their team, any quarterback that replaces him, like, is going to be judged on the guy that he replaced. Like, until somebody kind of, you know, starts their own family, creates their own name, their own legacy, right? And that may take forever. You may go through 2, 3, 4 coaching cycles before a guy literally says, this works. Because I don't think, even this year, like, I feel like the whole entire season, this whole 2024 season, is going to be some sort of, you know, comparison to Bill. Like, how he handles this week, how he handles Miami. Like, it's like, when does it end? When should it end is, a better question.
Patriots could have ended it. They didn't.
How could the Patriots have ended it?
How about not roll out 10 episodes of what a lot of people perceived as the whole Bill slander?
Well, that's fine.
The Patriots in this offseason has turned Bill Belichick in some ways into a martyr that, yes, Gerard will be compared to a lot because, I mean, they're going to lengths of painting murals for St. Mayo to try to prove that they're, like, moving on. But I'm sorry. Like, the guy was so successful, it's natural that those the Patriots didn't rip the Band-Aid off and say, hey, here's how we got to move on while respecting the past. It's become, well, we're going to point the finger at you on the way out, which will bow up people like me and others who are like, wait a minute, now you're going to denounce 20 years of success?
But the issue for me is, don't compare it to 20 years of success. Compare it to the last couple of years of suck. Because this team has not been good the last couple of years. And to me, that's the team that Gerard Mayo inherits. He inherited a team that picked in the top 5 picks in the draft, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He inherited a team that didn't win many football games last year. He inherited a team that had finger pointing and you know, sides of the ball not getting along and just all kinds of characteristics of a debacle season. To me, that's what he should be compared to, not, oh, they went 16-0 in 2007, and they won this many Super Bowls. No. That's not the team he joined. He joined a team that ruined a young quarterback. So how about win a few games, be more productive offensively, develop a young quarterback, things that most recently Bill Belichick and the Patriots could not do. To me, that's the comparison.
So why can't I compare Mayo to the early run of Belichick then, who came in and took over a 5-win team and then won the Super Bowl the next year? Is that unrealistic?
No. He took over a team that was 8-8, created a 5-win team.
So
you're fine with 5 wins this year for Gerard Mayo.
Oh, listen, if they're not in the top 3, they've screwed it up. If they're going to suck, and I want them to suck bad. No, it's going to. But again, if it's the whole.
Suck a lot.
How about this? You choose to go on the back end of Bill. Why can't I choose to go on the front end? Give it a year and then build a winner.
Give it a year and then have the most unexpected Super Bowl team in the history of sports.
Absolutely.
Right? By year two, you're looking for progress. You're looking for advancement. You're looking to see, has he put his stamp on the roster, on the style of play? All of that. But, you know, the direct comparison is unfair because the beginning of year two was well on its way to Bill Belichick being fired and never coaching again. And then we had a miracle and the turnover and everything happened. But the other comparison I would look at, too, that I think is a positive one, is a quarterback wearing number 10. I don't know about you guys, but I find Drake May so much more likable than Mac Jones ever was. I find him obviously more skilled and athletic and brings a total different style of play.
You can just admit you love him.
No, I do. Hashtag take Drake. Hashtag took Drake. I'm a maniac. The whole damn thing. But I hope he is given the comparison. I hope he's given the comparison to Mac Jones and not Tom Brady, right? Like all these photos from their event with Fanatics and all of that, like, he's not replacing Tom Brady. He's not trying to be compared to Tom Brady, in my opinion. He should be compared to Cam Newton, Mac Jones. Is he the next quarterback for an extended period of time for the Patriots? And then where does he fit in with the hierarchy of the NFL? To me, those are the compare. Like Trevor Lawrence. I've seen a lot of debate on social media of late. Like, where is Trevor Lawrence? Are you going to pay Trevor Lawrence? Is he going to be a top 5 quarterback, a top 10 quarterback? To me, those are the conversations you're looking for in this next couple years, Drake May to enter. That he's a long-term starter. How good is he? Where is he going? How much better than Mac Jones is he?
Well, see, I like that aspect of it, but good luck pulling it off. The problem is that they should not be compared to Brady. It should be like no coach should be compared to right. Bill. No quarterback should be compared to Brady. I remember saying that to Mac Jones. Like it's such an issue. Like you'll never ever possibly even closely match up to him. It's
right,
impossible. Right, but yeah, that's what we do. You know?
And it's boring. Not boring. It's sort of like lazy on our parts, I guess. Like you just fall back to the simple comparison. It's why a lot of draft Knicks are always hesitant to make pre-draft comparisons, because if you say somebody is Christian McCaffrey, well, like, oh, wow, he's going to be the best running back that's in the league. Mm-hmm. He changes offense. Like, it's not fair to these guys to put the – it's why the players generally go with the cliche that their agent or whoever, I'm just trying to be the best Drake May I can be and the first Drake May in the NFL kind of thing, because once you label a – like, I did it. You got all hot and bothered with me, Fourier, when I compared Drake May to Josh Allen and John Elway. And you got all of defensive because I don't think you really understood the comparison. No offense. But, like – that
I would have yelled at him too, Christian.
That created thoughts, right? That creates an immediate reaction. Oh, Hart's an idiot. He thinks freaking Drake May is John Elway. No, not what I said. I was making a comparison, but people just fixate immediately. And the reality is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick coached here for a really long time at a really high level, and now you have a coach and a quarterback that are going to have to live up to that.
Damn, I didn't even get to what do we do with these players.
We got over like an hour and 15
Elliot,
minutes.
Well, I wanted to go over it with Hart, but
he should come in on Friday.
Wait, are you guys being serious? Do I really have to come in on Friday?
I am not feeling well. I've been hacking up.
All right, you can see he's going down that tunnel. He may not come out of it.
He's doing a good job laying the foundation of credibility for this caller.
Well, I've also hawked up a giant loogie in there, too, at one point. Yeah, there you go.
Why don't you tell me what color it was?
I'm giving you 2 days.
And a little bit of orange.
2 days notice. Oh. By the way, you stole Drake May's T-shirt that he wore underneath the Celtics jersey last night. Looked like he was waiting to get called in.
What do you mean?
Drake May at the Celtics jersey had the white T-shirt on underneath. It looked ratty. You got that on.
I always wear it. This is a Tufts football shirt. It's like 20 years old.
Oh, there
we go. My Jumbos. Tufts lacrosse in the national title game yet again. Jumbos.
Is that Division III?
Division III lacks. They're one of the dominant programs in the country.
Are they really? Well, now that everybody can cheat, I would expect even the Division III schools would
they don't
rise
get any
up
money.
Too, wouldn't they?
They don't get any money.
What, are you kidding me? You don't think there's money at Tufts? Williams and Amherst? Are you nuts?
Yeah, money, but there's money in Harvard also.
Exactly. Well, they choose to spend it differently because they got other objectives over there. When the Tufts Jumbos decide to go all in,
We're student athletes. It's an academic conference.
Sure, that's right.
Conference.
So we all rode that bull crap, didn't we?
Are you going to head down to the lacrosse championship this weekend down at Gillette? Because they are having women's and men's championship down at Gillette this weekend.
Are they?
I got an email about.
I thought it was in Philly.
You know, having being the keynote speaker.
What?
They asked you to be a keynote speaker and you barely read the email.
Listen, you should have stopped the keynote speaker. You know, no one's asking. They're not asking me.
Hey. Although, Hart, I did ask him yesterday. Kylie Kelsey did a commencement speech. What would essentially Fourier's, give me a 1 minute synopsis of what the speech would be about? And it was basically,
it was great.
You're idiots and you know nothing.
Yeah, ask for your money back.
In light of recent events with Butker. Christian can't be the worst commencement speaker. So,
right? Some people may say he's the best. I'm just saying. Where's your wife at right now? Is she in the kitchen?
She's making my lunch.
Oh, there you go. At least you got rid of the pink balloons behind you, which is good.
I popped them all. Party's over. It's time to work.
There you go. That's right. You kids are home for the summer. Get the mower ready.
Go eat your sandwich. All right, go down and eat your sandwich.
All right, Hart. Thank you, buddy. You can read Andy Hart at WEEI.com, and he is the head of the Six Rings Empire.